For the sermon today, we'll look at several verses of the Christmas narrative from Luke and also from Matthew. Based on our reading from Matthew chapter 1, and when the angel appeared to Joseph in a dream, but we want to also look at several other times when the angels talk to God's people and think about the common message that those angels are saying to people. If you have the little half sheet, green half sheet for the sermon, you can look at it if you would like. I first read from Luke 1, 11 through 13. And there appeared to him, Zechariah, an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And Zechariah was troubled when he saw him, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer has been heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John." And you notice that I underlined in that, "Do not be afraid." We see that in several more readings. Then, just a few verses later, from Luke chapter 1, starting at verse 28, "And he came to her, Mary, and said, 'Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you.' But she was greatly troubled at the saying, and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus.'" And then, our reading for today, the gospel reading for today, Matthew chapter 1, verse 18, starting at 18. "Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man, and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, 'Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins.'" And then from Luke 2, starting at verse 8. "And in the same region there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, 'Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord.'" Fear not. Do not be afraid. This is a message that is said numerous times as Jesus, the promise of John the Baptist and the promise of the birth of Jesus, and then at Jesus' birth. We pray. Dear Father in heaven, all these times you told your people to fear not, do not be afraid. We ask you to continue to fill our hearts and minds with your word and your Holy Spirit, so that we may have faith to know that you're speaking to us and that you wish to come to us and comfort us. Continue to be with us and guide us in our thinking and thoughts. Amen. Just a few points on why fear. We think of these four passages. They say, fear not, do not be afraid. And one thing, it might be obvious, is that all of a sudden, a supernatural being, we use that word supernatural, but a being that is of God, divine, from heaven, comes and appears to people, or in Joseph's case, in their dream. This could be something that would be very, very fearful. So that could be part of the fear not. Also, the surprising quality of it, I think a human being would realize this being that's talking to me is more powerful than me. And that might be scary and make you afraid. So that might be part of the fear. Also, I think it would be for these people that the angel appeared to, they were all faithful Jews. They believed that angels existed. They believed in the true God. They were followers of God. They might wonder, am I in trouble? We have a tradition, I've mentioned it once or twice, a tradition in our family where we have family meetings. And I remember one time, and sometimes they're about the behavior of the kids, but a lot of times it wasn't about that. It was something we were planning to do or just to make some schedule or something like that. And one time we called a family meeting and all the kids said, are we in trouble? And so you have a message from this powerful being from God and you know you're a sinner. That you know the Ten Commandments. You know that you haven't kept them. You, whatever is going on in their lives, to have this angelic divine being appear to you might say, am I in trouble now? Well, that might be part of the fear. And if that fear was connected to saying, I'm a sinner, then that fear might be correct. Because to stand before something holy, and we realize we're sinners, that is a fearful thing. It's interesting how the passage I have written down there from 1 John chapter 4 interacts with fear and love. And I read from 1 John 4, starting at verse 16. God is love, and whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. By this is love perfected with us, so that we may have confidence for the day of judgment. Because as he is, so also are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not been perfected in love. In helping to understand this passage, it's important for us to see that this word perfected is this same thing, it's the root word that Jesus cried from the cross, it is finished. It's completed, it's perfected, it's done, it's finished. So as John speaks here, he's talking about this completed love, this perfect love, this fulfilled love. So this love that is full from God in us, that casts out fear. And the person who has that love and is in that love from God, they realize that God is there and taking care of them, and so the fear is cast out. And then that last line in that little paragraph which I read, for fear has to do with punishment. John is pointing out here that a child of God who knows that God loves him knows that the punishment has been put aside. And so that fear is put aside. If Mary or Zechariah or Joseph or the shepherds, if they had some fear in their minds because they realized they were sinners before the holiness of God through his angels, then that would be correct. They would have some fear. But the angel said to all in all four narratives, do not fear. And in each case, the angels brought good news. Each case, God was reaching out. And I have noted there is, you might say, in each case, the angel is saying, you're not in trouble. And in fact, here's some help. And if you think about each of them, Zechariah, the angel said, the Lord has heard your prayers. And so they were wishing and praying for a child to be born. And in fact, this is going to be a very important child, John the Baptist. And Mary, she's going to carry the Savior. She's greatly favored to do this. And she is going to need God's power and grace to do this and to carry out this miracle and to be a mother of Jesus. And Joseph, which it's from a human perspective, how can Mary be pregnant? And so he was fearful of that. And the angel came with good news that this, in fact, was God's plan and God's miracle that her conception was his plan, and he did that, and she would bear Jesus, the Savior. And then finally, also the angels, the shepherds. When the shepherds heard the angels, and then also the whole angelic choir, the fear that might have been there because of this, as we use the word, this supernatural thing going on, and this power and this glory, something just not normally what we see at all. And yet the angel told the shepherds, "Fear not. This is very good news of great joy, which is for all the people." In each of the cases, the angels brought good news to them. When we think about each of these narratives, each of these times the angels say, "Do not fear," we see that God reaches into people's lives with his grace and power, and he wants to bless them. He doesn't want to punish his people. He wants to bless them. And it's faith that says, "Yes, I'm hearing what God is saying. And yes, that is, he wants to bless me." It's the unbelief that says, "No, I'm a sinner. No, God doesn't like me. No, I'm against God." These things are not of faith. But faith hears the message, and faith then receives this grace from God. As you think about this in Christmas time, and each of these three narratives, and the different things in life they were dealing with, different promises they got from God, we can also think about our own lives and where we are. We know that some people have been sick and are healed. Some people are quarantined. Some people have difficulties in family. Some people are separated from loved ones. In each of these cases, God knows exactly what's going on. He knows their hearts. He knows their minds. And he reaches out to his people and says, "Do not be afraid, for he has given his son, who is forgiveness and life and light for all people." We pray. Dear Father in heaven, we give you thanks that you have sent your son to be our true life and light. And we ask you to drive out all fear in our lives, but to live and thrive on your love and grace in Jesus Christ. We ask you to continue to make known to us this good news, in whatever situation we're facing, that we may continue to receive your grace and shine forth your love. All these things we bring to you in the holy name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Now may the peace which surpasses all human understanding keep our hearts and our minds with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.